good afternoon. A couple of announcements before we move to the actual program itself. This concert is made possible with funds from the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund and the citizens of Baltimore County, as well as supporters of the Baltimore Classical Guitar Society. It's not often that people, you know, particularly in this case, you know, community, gets to be a part of creating new music, in this case, commissioning. So for all of those organizations, they deserve a round of applause. So the format for the program today is we're going to be able to talk a little bit with the composers of each of these pieces, and then we'll hear the work. And I just want to emphasize just what an extraordinary thing it is that we actually not only play music by living composers, but the composers themselves are here, and you can see them. And then afterwards, you can talk to them, and that's a really wonderful thing. So to begin, I'd like to call up John Bonka, who's our first composer of the afternoon. So is this the first time you've written for the guitar?
I'd say technically. Long ago, I think I taught myself guitar by rote, but I'm primarily a vocalist, maybe have some keyboard skills, and the guitar is certainly not my first instrument, but I can get by playing some, you know, chords and folk music.
Right, you can work, find your way around on the instrument. So what were the challenges of writing for an instrument that hasn't been, you know,
well, there's always challenges writing for a new instrument, and it's, I think I'm in a room full of guitarists today, so. The guitar's a difficult instrument. There's six strings, the tuning's a little strange, you got fourths, 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 a random third in there. There's a lot of frets, they get in the way, and then you're kind of tied by position, too. So, it's really difficult to kind of come up with all this counterpoint. There's a lot of different notes that you can get. It's like putting a keyboard, but in there.
And when you say counterpoint, just to sort of paraphrase, you're talking about multiple things happening.
Right, yeah. So it's easy to have a chord, to strum a chord. But if we're talking about writing a melody, then we have one melody. And then if we wanted to add a second melody to it, to play against it, so that when one note happens, another could happen, and then they can speak in dialogue together. That is, counterpoint is a term for that. And on guitar, to have multiple voices going at once, you really have to be intimate with the instrument, a player yourself, and I wasn't really that. So I think when you get to the symphony piece, hopefully you'll enjoy it.
So did you actually then write it sort of with a guitar in hand?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I totally approached the harmony, the sounds that I needed to make, and then I'd work on the fingering myself. What would it sound like if I took it down and played it on these strings as opposed to on these strings? What fingering potential does that open up? If I have my index and ring finger on a particular pitch here, what can I get with the index finger? What harmonic can I get with the pinky? So all of that was built from where the hand was, where my hand was, what I could reach, and then what I perceived a capable player of being able to reach.
But it sounds like, and this is just, I find this kind of an interesting point from a performer's perspective, when people write for the instrument who are not sort of native guitarists.
Yeah.
Shall I say. But it sounded like you said that you had an idea first. You said, you know, the harmonic or melodic idea.
Yeah.
And then you went to the instrument to find out possible, semi-possible,
for sure. Different ways to make it speak. I have different particular tendencies in my own language that are sometimes dissonant, though I like to make them tonal for a listener. The listener might perceive it immediately as dissonant, but then after repetition, you can kind of, it becomes like a song for you as well. And through that repetition, I like to tonicize it. So to come up with really dissonant things on the instrument of the guitar, it requires some challenges. So I first figured out a couple of sounds that I liked, and then from that, it shaped the piece. And I should explain, the program doesn't really mention this, but my piece is in six movements. So the first movement is very much like a prelude, second movement's some real meat. The third movement is, again, contrasting meat. Fourth movement is an intermezzo. Fifth movement is real meat. And then six is, you know, sort of the end, right? So you should know that. Go ahead.
Are they played continuously? Is there a break or pause in between?
I think there's like, you know, slight pauses between, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Comfortable. You should know that.
Okay. Yeah. We'd like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
But what does the title mean?
Were we expecting that we're all
fluent enough in German that we really don't need to translate this?
Well, Winters is hopefully pretty easy. In German, it's the scent of winter.
Oh, okay.
I like the idea of not really being able to smell anything in the snowy woods. And so it's the still dryness. There's another German word in one of the movements. The third movement is Die Liebe Farbe, which is a Schubert song, actually, from Die Schöne Müllerin. And it's the lovely color. And so I kind of like the idea of the scent of winter and this lovely color of maybe not being there as well. So we're talking about static and snow and rest and peace. Yeah, and silence.
The lovely color is green, isn't it?
It is in that work.
Right,
you're right.
Right, right. But right. That's the one thing you're not going to see in winter.
Right.
So just the scent.
The scent.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell us about the piece?
Yeah,
just let us experience it.
One thing as an introduction to my music and to my language is that I like to explore both sound and silence kind of equally. And so I think there are times where you might have a long period of rest that is quite intentional to make you a little uncomfortable, but then when the sound finally does kind of come back in again, I hope that, you know, you find some sort of comfort or continuation of the narrative through that. So it's totally intentional to have a little bit of more silence than you're used to. And I hope you enjoy that. Great, thanks,
John.